أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Yesterday the eighth para was read in the Taraweeh Salam. Previously in the end of the seventh para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said regards to the people of the mushrikeen that وَأَقْسَمُ بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ لَإِنْ جَاءَتْهُمْ آيَةٌ لَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهَا, that if they take a qasam in Allah, that if Allah, if the Nabi had to bring signs to them, then definitely they will bring iman. In the very first verse of the eighth para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refused this claim and saying that whatever we do for them, even if the dead has to speak to them and everything has to be arranged and gathered for them so that they can bring iman, they will not bring iman. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the next verse, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًّا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِّ يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا, that Allah has appointed for every Nabi enemies, that is the shayateen of the ins of men as well as jinn. Ya Allah first mentioned insan, that amongst the insan there are certain people who are agents of the shaitan, who are enemies to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And what do? They whisper to one another with regards to a beautiful speech, things that seem good but intended to deceive. They camouflage the speech of it and then and present it as very palatable. So these are the enemies of insan as well as the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So every Nabi had enemies. So every person also will also have enemies. And these are the agents of shaitan. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions towards the next page that وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَهُ, that O people of iman, leave alone all sins, apparently and outwardly and inwardly as well. All the outward sins, the apparent sins, for example, the growing of the beard, which is wajib, and is something which is very, very important, that one first length, according to all the imams, the four imams, it is wajib. So this is something very important. Similarly, our dressing, we should see that our pants, our garments, all the time are above our ankles. And similarly, with regards to other sins that a person should leave out, and should be particular with regards to fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not leaving out any commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبَاطِنَا, and the inward sins, what we call the akhlaq razila, or the spiritual maladies a person suffers from. That is why it is necessary to sit in the suhbat of some sheikh, sit in his company, and these are the spiritual doctors of the time, and work on a person's heart to remove all these maladies. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a kissa where Allah says, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ, that do you think that person who was dead and we revived him, وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا, and we appointed for him nur, effulgence, light, through which he could walk amongst the people, can he be same to that people who is in total darkness, لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِنْهَا, and he cannot escape the darkness. Under this verse, the commentary, it is mentioned that the wretched person Abu Jahl, one occasion, threw some filth on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu was the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had just returned from hunting and he had his bow in his hand. And when he came to know of this action of this wretched person, immediately this person, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu, struck him with the bow. And then Abu Jahl said, "Oh Hamza, what are you doing to me? Don't you see that your nephew is causing takleef and he's causing division amongst our ranks? He is swearing our idols, etc. He is causing problems and he is calling us stupid and foolish people." Hamza radiallahu anhu told him, "There is no more foolish person than you. There is no more stupid person than you. That you regard the deities and the idols as your God." And he professed the kalima and recited the shahada and he accepted iman. So yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that person, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu, who was in darkness, he was not a Muslim. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the nur of iman, that he was able to walk amongst the people. And like Abu Jahl, who is in darkness and he cannot come out from the darkness. Just like a person who cannot see, a person now has to grope in the dark. He has to use his sense of touch, etc. But a person who's got noor, just like a car, if a car does not have lights, it can end up in destruction, accidents can happen. But a person has lights, it will reach his destination. Or then there are certain lights, the lights may be dim. And if a person has bright lights, then he can see a better view, everything around him. Similarly, with regards to a candle, the light is restricted. So the flickering light of iman is still beneficial. That spark of iman is still very, very beneficial. It will help that person, inshallah, one day to enter into Jannah. What to say of that person who has a torch, or a spot lamp, or those lights who are very powerful like they have in the lighthouses. That is the noor that will walk amongst the people. Ya, the ulama explained, walking amongst the people is noor, means that a person, his iman, his good qualities will affect people. Just like a light, when a person has a light, he does not only, that benefit is not restricted to him only, other people also benefit. And what to say on the day of Qiyamah, that noorhum yas'a bayna aydihim, that similar, that noor will guide that person before him, leading across the full sirat, and enter him to Jannah. So Allah has given us this noor of iman. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions toward the bottom of the page, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَن يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ, that that person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to guide, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens his bosom towards Islam. In other words, Allah gives him sharh al-sadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens his bosom that he will be able to make a correct decision. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Alam nashrah laka sadrak, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, haven't we expounded your bosom? There a person who has sharh al-sadr, he will be able to make correct decisions. Everything will go smooth in his life. And also in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحُ اللَّهُ صَدْرُ الْإِسْلَامِ فَوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّ رَبِّهِ. Yeah, again, that person who has shari sadr is from a noor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, is there any sign to say that this noor has entered this person and is called shari sadr? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three signs, التَّجَافَ and دَارِ الْغُرُورِ, that a person has this inclination towards a deceptive world. And secondly, وَالْإِنَابَةُ إِلَىٰ دَارِ الْخُلُودِ, he has inclination towards the everlasting abode, that is Jannah. وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادُ لِلْمُوتِ قَبْلَ نُزُولِهِ, and he prepares for death before death overtakes him. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to that person, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَن يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to deviate, then he makes his heart, his bosom, very, very restricted, very, very narrow, just like a person is ascending towards the heavens. And a person understands that, yeah, we are breathing very normally, oxygen is freely available. But as a person goes towards the heavens, now his heart or his breathing becomes very, very tightly. So now these kuffar also, the more the year of Allah, the more the year of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this causes taqlif to them, as if though they can't breathe anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this is the end result. Thereafter towards the, before the half of the para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three verses over here. And these three verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions ten commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll discuss the translation, then we'll explain inshallah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself telling the kuffar, that قُلْ تَعَالَوْ, that come closer, let me recite to you, أَتْلُوا مَا حَرَّمَا رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made forbidden for you. The first one, لَا تُشْرِكُ بِشَيْءَ, that you should not associate parties in Allah. That the second one, that you should be good to one's parents. Third, that you should not kill your children because of poverty. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ, that you do not fear. Why? Because we give you risk and we give your children risk as well. The fourth one, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ, like it was mentioned previously, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ, that do not approach in modesty and lewdness where it is apparent or hidden. The fifth one, do not kill a soul which Allah has made haram upon you, except if it's that life taken rightfully. ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, Allah says that this is a wasiyat and command that you should abide by so that you gain an intelligence. Continuing with this, our commandments, that you should not approach the wealth of the orphans except in a favorable manner until he becomes of age, until he reaches maturity. Then, وَأُوفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ, that you should give in full measure and weigh with justice. لا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها. We do not burden any soul except which that he can able to do and which is in his capacity. وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى. And also when you speak, then adopt justice of ears, speak the truth. وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى. Even if it is your relatives. In other words, be just in whatever you are, what decision you are going to make. وَبِأَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا. And fulfill your covenants. ذَلِكْ وَصَوَاكُمْ إِلَىٰ أَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, again, it is a command. And he was here from you so that you can take heed. And the last one, which is very, very important. وَأَنَّ هَذَا الصِّرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. That, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, this is the sirat al-mustaqim. That follow it. Do not follow any other paths. Why you'll become deviated from the right path. Against Allah says, ذَلِكُ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. First Allah mentions taqiyu, that you understand. Then you take heed. Then you adopt taqwa. These three stages a person ought to follow. Hazrat Ka'b Ahbar radiallahu, who was a Jewish scholar and later became a Muslim, he said that these are the same ten commandments of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam found in the Torah. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that if a person wants to see a will, a special will that was bequeathed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then recite these verses, recite these commandments. So to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bequeathed and made wasiyah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that tell your ummah these are the commandments of, these are my commandments. And on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even mentioned that who is going to take allegiance on my hands, the pledge of allegiance on my hands on these 10 commandments. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashra amthaliha wa man jaa bis sayyati fala yujza illa mithlahum la yuzlamun. That person who does any good deeds, then he will get, the person will be rewarded the 10 times. In other words, every good deed will multiply 10 times. And this is minimum. And look at the justice of Allah. Look at the rahmat of Allah. And that person who does evil, he will be only recompensed to the equal to that. And he will not be wrong in any way. So it is mentioned in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when a person intends to do good, then that person, this on and out, him doing that action, the malaika order to write for him one reward. And if he executes that deen, then Allah says, record 10 good deeds. As I mentioned, 10 times is a minimum. Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha. Allah can increase according to his wish. And when a person intends to do an evil, he wants to do some evil, but because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he desists. He does not do it. Out of the fear of Allah, the malaika ordered that, O malaika, even though this person intended evil and he did not execute that action, record one good deed in his favor. Subhanallah. And if a person does that evil deed, then only one bad deed and not 10 bad deeds are recorded. So yeah, look at how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a very important verse. And this is a person should adopt as a formula. What is this verse? قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ. That all say Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my salah, wa nusuki, my sacrifice, all my ibadat, etc. wa mahyaya wa mamati, and my living and my dying is لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That everything is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا شريك له. I do not associate parties with Allah. وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And with these things I have been commanded, and I am the first to submit. So yeah, what is in reality, as Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu said, I honestly desire that every Muslim would keep on reciting this verse time and again, make it a formula of his life. What does he mean by that? He means that a person should understand a person's heart, his mind, his eyes, his ears, his tongue, his movement of his limbs, etc. Everything should be in accordance to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever he does, he will do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is, the morals will come in a person. This person will shine in the world, and person will take will take great lesson from such people. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the kisa of Shaitan and Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Very briefly, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to make sajda, and he refused. And then what reason did he give? He said, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارُ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِينَ. That I am made of fire and he is made out of sand. that I am better than him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like this and told him that فَخْرُجْ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. Go from here in this condition, you expel in the condition that you are disgraced. So understand, shaitan, he thought that he was someone green because he was made of fire. And sand is something which is low. People don't look upon, even look to it. But logically, if a person really analyzes that what is fire? Fire is destructive and that sand is constructive. Fire destroys everything. Whereas sand, a person uses the sand to plant. People use sand, material things to build, etc. So it is very, very constructive. Then he tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understand also, shaitan was an arif. He knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that moment when Allah is angry with him, he understood and knew and recognized what was the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, "Anzirni ila yawm yubathun." Oh Allah, grant me respite to the day of Qiyamah. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Aqdas Sahib rahmatullahi says, if only the wretched shaitan could say instead of "Anzirni," and he could have said "Unzurni." To Allah, look at me at your grace and mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have forgiven him. But he didn't mention this, but he said, "Anzirni," that grant me respite. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him reject and made him despise. And he was rejected and expelled from Jannah. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that, what did shaitan say? That I will waylaid him. لَأَقُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَقَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. That I will come and lay waylaid him on every sirat al-mustaqim, the right path. And I will come to them, before them, behind them, on their right and on their left. And you will not find anyone making shukr and being grateful to me. Yeah, again, Hazrat Aqim Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi explains that understand that the woman, when they come out from the homes, haba'ilu shaitan, they are the snares and nets of shaitan. Just like how in a net, so many fish are caught, so many that the net of shaitan are the woman. He uses the woman to catch his targets, and the men, shaitan, istashrafa, he makes the woman look very, very attractive. So yeah, Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi explains that from this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that shaitan will come in all four directions. But two directions are still left. One is looking upwards and one looking downwards. If you look upwards, then this is can hurt your eye. Some particle will come. Some droppings of the bird will fall in your eye if you keep on looking up. So what is the way out? What is the way of salvation? Is to lower our gaze. And this way, inshallah, a person will save from the price of nafs and shaitan. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the qissa of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salatu wa salam. When they were told not to come and approach the tree, what did shaitan, the enemy, وَقَاسَّمَهُمَّا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. He took a qasam and he told him, "I am your advisor." فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. And he manipulated them with deceit. And he told him, "No, there is nothing wrong, take off the tree," etc. So nevertheless, فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَةَ بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا وَتَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ. When he had tasted and ate from that forbidden tree, then what happened immediately? Both their private parts became exposed to one another. Then they started gathering the leaves of Jannah to cover their private parts. So you also understand that they eat of that forbidden tree. And today we can see, and what happened was a result that their clothes were removed. Today because of eating doubtful food, of haram food, etc., that is why we see so much of immodesty, shamelessness. People are scantily dressed, etc. One of the main reasons, amongst other reasons, is people are not particular with regards to their food. That is why we find so much of immodesty and also so much of shamelessness. There, and also, the leave alone living in Jannah, that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, they were not even allowed to wear the apparel of Jannah. And because of their mistake, thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, with regards to the tawbah being accepted, قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, where he is mentioned in Surah Baqarah, that فَتَلَقَّ آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّي كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلِيهِ. Allah accepted the words, and he inspired them to read this kalima, this dua. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some certain commandments which are very, very important. That what is the command? يَا بَنِي آدَمَ قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسَ يُوَارِي سُوَادِكُمْ وَرِيشَ. Oh people of Adam, this Allah is addressing not only to the Muslims but the entire mankind. That indeed we have sent upon you libas, clothes, In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the ingredients of how to make the clothes, etc., the nitty-gritty, the finer details, how cloth comes into being, etc. It doesn't mean now clothes fall from the sky. You are isawatik wa risha. So what is the object of this clothes? It is to you to cover your private parts. Secondly, warisha, it is a form of adornment. Here a person understand adornment here, if it done according to the sunnah tariqah, sabse ajmal tariqah, then it is beauty. If a person adopts the sunnah tariqah, the dress, male and female, this is beauty for a person. Yes, a person can have good clothes. Yet, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, inna Allah jameel yuhibbul jamal. Allah loves beauty. And he loves to see the effects of his beauty on his servants. But what is forbidden is look down upon the people. For example, a person says, look at my clothes, I got a branded name. And look at your clothes, torn and tattered, you got patches on it. This is something which is haram, and Allah does not like. So adornment is something very, very important. Women folk also, adornment for their husbands within the confines of the Sharia or the homes. Unfortunately, today, when at home they dress so shabbily, but coming out now they want to dress and impress other people. They want to be hear the remarks of other people. So what a topsy-turvy world we are living in. And also very, very important that today women are wearing cloaks and abayas, which is very good, alhamdulillah. But what is something very concerning and worrying is that so many cloaks have so much of beadwork, so much of colors, that the material which is see-through, and instead of covering ourselves, we are attracting the opposite genders, and there are so much of beadwork and colors, and this is attraction, and this is a ploy of shaitan. وَرِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى Allah mentioned the third dress, and which is the best dress. وَرِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ That the clothing of taqwa, this is best. And what is taqwa? The ulama explained, the mufassirin said that this regards to good conduct, good morals and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also a spiritual dress. And with regards to taqwa of the clothes, there are certain times which can be mentioned over here. For example, clothes should not be of a such a nature which is tight-fitting, which are so flimsy and see-through and revealing, not reflecting any pride or arrogance when a person wears those clothes. Clothes of fashion, that it shouldn't be fashionable clothes of the time. It should not be imitating other cultures and other norms. And also the dress of the woman should not be of a masculine and vice versa. Today the trends and the fashions of the time, so many people have been caught up. And we see that we have unisex clothes, etc., where people are getting caught up with all these things. So understand that this dressing is a very, very important thing of our Sharia. And it will save a person from many gunas as well. The next verse, Allah says, "La ya bani Adam, la yaftinannakum shaitan." That do not shaitan cast you into all problems, just as he has expelled your parents out of Jannah. And what was the plot of shaitan? As previously mentioned, that in Jannah, while he was there, shaitan, for waswasa lahum shaitan, there he was trying to bring waswasa, that remove your clothing, reveal your private parts to one another. And what happened when they eat the food? Yeah, again, the private parts are revealed to one another. And yeah, again, Allah mentioned, يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا His whole aim is to remove that clothes, the tear away from their clothes, so that the private parts can be seen to one another. Today, we can see the nudist colonists, etc. These are the works of shaitan. And a moral, the integral part of our deen is haya. And this is what we call modesty, shamefulness. Unfortunately, there is so much of shamelessness in modesty, bihayahi. And what is haya? Mulla Ali Qari Rahmatullahi mentions, anna mawlaka la yaraka haythuma nahaka an. That your mawla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should not see you at those places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden you from. So ya istahyu min Allah haqqa al-haya. That adopt haya before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To such an extent, even if a person, he is alone and he is secluded, even there too a person should try not to be in a state of nakedness, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, because there are certain creations which are with you, that is the malaika, who do not depart from you. In other words, they are the malaika who protect you, so have haya for them. One person asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there any problem for a person? He's in solitude and he is naked. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, Allah is more worthy that you display haya and shame before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yeah, the next, continuing the verse, that innahu yaraqu huwa qabirun haythu la tarunhum, that he wants to see you and shaitan sees you and he the like thereof, that means his agents, they can see you from far, in haythu la tarunhum, where you can't see them. That is why when a person goes to relieve himself, we should read the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuth wal-khaba'ith, O Allah, protect us from the male and female devils. And also, a person before entering the toilet, it is mentioned in the beautiful sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person should recite Bismillah. Why? This becomes a barrier between him and shaitan. Then the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed, يَا بَنِي آدَمَ خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ إِنَّ كُلِّ مَسْجِدِي وَقُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُصْرِفُوا. That, O people of Adam and Islam, adopt beauty at every masjid. Ya, what does it mean? Ya, could mean at the time of a person performing sajda, or at the time of salah, or in entering into a masjid. All meanings are considered over here. How unfortunately, Hazrat mentions yesterday, that people come to the masjid so shabbily dressed. And up to today, I never noticed anyone coming when they came for nikah, that they dressed in jammies or with a cap on their head or some t-shirt. But they came, why? They are going to meet their beloved. And if a person has got appointment with a king, how will he dress? He'll look very smart. He'll look very, very nice. Yeah, five times we are coming for salah. Five times we've got appointment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what a beautiful dress we should adopt. That is why Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu used to wear his best clothes and when he used to come for salah. And he should say, Allah loves beauty. And ulama explained that those clothes that a person feels ashamed to walk in public, what to say if those clothes are to be worn in salah, coming to the masjid? Have you ever seen a person walking with a handkerchief around his head in the public and walking with big helmets and masjid topis outside the masjid and coming with pyjamas and overalls? So a person should understand. And also very, very important, that what clothes we are wearing. One of the pamphlets that our madrasa has taken out, that what are you wearing? For example, this few examples, which is very, very important, mark for taking your time, but it's something very, very relevant to our times. For example, a person comes with something written on his t-shirt, like Nike, and Nike, like Mufti Ibrahim Salehji Sahib once came and gave us a majlis, what is Nike? He said, one of the slogans of Nike is, just do it. In other words, just do it, follow your whims and your desires, follow shaitan. So what is Nike? Nike is a Greek goddess. Now if you come in front, in the first staff example, you're standing with that Nike t-shirt, you're saying, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, but you're saying, Allah, you are the greatest, but I've got a Greek god with me as well. Then we got some people who wear emblems. For example, the red devil they come up with. Then we are saying, in salah, we sing, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem. Oh Allah, we're seeking protection from shaitan. And then we are saying, oh Allah, I also brought shaitan with me, the red devil with me. And they also, Hazrat Qari Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, on one occasion, when I was a student of here, he addressed our students and he brought one t-shirt, which was written over there, Stussy, which is a famous brand. And he asked everyone, what is written over here? So everyone says, Stussy. Then Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allah grant him Jannah to be those, he pointed to us, that look properly, look at the letters, with all that funny writing, the cockeye writing, it looks like Stussy, but what is really written was Satanism. So we come into the masjid in that condition, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be very, very careful what we are wearing. Also with regards to Nike, one of the brands is A, Nike A. And this kuffar, how they plot, that the word A, actually they wrote it in such a way, if a person had to look properly at it, it was the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was much more to discuss, inshallah, we'll try and finish it tomorrow. Allah give us the tawfiq of understanding. Wa aqidah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.